What's up, guys, and welcome to the Meeple Minded Podcast, the podcast where we talk all things tabletop gaming. My name is Jason.
And I'm Ian. And along with Paul in the newsroom, join us as we bumble our way through the board gaming industry. So pop the kettle on, grab a brew, and let's move on with today's episode.
Brew in hand for me. I don't know about you, but yeah. Well, I say brew. It's more orange juice for me today. My throat's been a bit bit funny the past couple of days, so I do apologise if I sound like a frog. But how have
That's
you been
just
doing?
Normal.
There. Yeah, this is true. How have you been doing?
Yeah, not too bad. We finally made the most of, one, the nicer weather at the moment, and two, the rules. First rules relax for the worldwide apocalypse of being able to actually play some games with friends in the garden.
We finally got
the train on the table, which I'm really looking forward to trying out with you at some point. I was really impressed. It's a little social deduction game, basically sort of set out with the goal that there's a saboteur on the train trying to run it into Paris International Station.
Nice.
And between you, you've all got to work out who the saboteur is and throw them off the train, as well as stopping the train. But you all have your own side missions. Like, I was the speedster, so I had to get the train to reach the world land speed record before we stopped it. Problem was, is overall, there aren't many cards that slow the train down, and we didn't know this. and the shuffle kind of put all the slow ones together. So, yeah, the saboteur won this as we rammed the train into Paris International at high speed.
Did you enjoy the game? That's the question. The saboteur won, but, you know, was that you?
No, it wasn't me. I wish. but no, we all really enjoyed it. And it actually, the box time says it's a half-hour game. We learned it and finished it within 40 minutes. So I was quite impressed.
That's very good.
Components are good. Once we get actually games to the table at the board gaming groups and stuff, that'll be one I'd want to give a test run with you.
Yes.
Because it's a 4-6 player game, which is why I was a bit worried how easy it would see the table.
Yeah.
So over lockdown, it's not been one I've been able to actually try.
No.
So I was pleased with that. And then we managed to get two games of Flashpoint where we got absolutely destroyed.
Nice. a good sign of a good Flashpoint game there. Yeah?
Yep.
You failed as firefighters.
Twice.
The real question is, did anyone play as the dog?
What, in the second game, yes.
You shouldn't have failed that one.
Yeah, we did. The building collapsed both times. The record, I actually do have all of the Flashpoint expansions. We did go back and check.
This past week for me has been an interesting one. All the decorating was finished, and I stupidly decided that it was time to go and buy new furniture. So I still haven't moved back into my room. But I'm spending today building furniture, so hopefully by the end of today I will be back in my room. My fingers are very much crossed.
And it'll all fall apart by tomorrow.
Oh, well, of course it will. Of course it will. I'm terrible at this DIY business. Unless it's building like scenery and stuff, I'm okay at that. Game-wise, for me, it's been a bit of a slow week, but I have just had literally right before we hit the record button, had a delivery from Zatu Games with a new folded space insert for my Isle of Cats game. So I'm going to enjoy putting that together and actually having the Isle of Cats game be organized. It's one of my most unorganized boxes at the moment, but that will change hopefully by the end of tomorrow, because once the glue dries and stuff like that. But yeah, let's move on to the main topic of today, and a little bit of a backstory is probably on for this one, because this is actually prompted by a listener question. So yeah, I was contacted a little while ago on Discord by one of the members who had a little question for me, of which I was more than happy to help them, explain to them, etc. However, after we chatted, they said to me that they'd asked a fair amount of people the same question and not really got a straight answer until they spoke to me. So the question was, what on earth is engine building and or an engine building game? So at first I was kind of taken back by being asked this, and then even more so to find that actually a large amount of people don't really know or understand what engine building is. You know, is it a strategy game? Is it a particular game mechanic? And the honest answer is yes and yes, but also no. So that prompted me to speak to Ian to try and do a little bit of a clarification podcast for it today. So we're going to dive into that. Are you looking forward to trying to explain this phenomenon, shall we say?
I am. It was quite an interesting one going through trying to work out what games use engine building. Because for me, I know what it is, and I, you know, a lot of my favorite games do. Being a trading card game player, that's going to come up quite a lot in these conversations. But actually finding which board games I have that use different, various different engine building things was a much harder task.
Yes, indeed. And I made things far more difficult for Ian by saying at the end of this that we should probably do, I wouldn't say top five favourite engine builders, but give you an idea of what kind of engine builders we have played or intend to play in the future. Let's do it. Let's dive in. I'll start because I actually find engine builders to be incredibly satisfying. It's actually one of my favorite, most enjoyable playing experiences. For the most part, there are some that, yeah, we won't even go there. But yeah, engine building games have many forms and yet may not always be referred to as such. Ian has already semi-touched on some there in the trading card game front, but we'll get to that. For example, one of my top five games of all time is Marvel Legendary, a deck building game that is basically engine building at its rawest form. Would you say that?
Yep. So I think to carry on with this point, we have to explain what engine building actually is. As Jason just said, it's not a core mechanic that defines a game. However, it often is like this, the foundations of some games that involve it. So for engine building games, you have a game where you start with minimal things, minimal pieces, or whatever it is within that game, and you have to use the options available in the game and the mechanics of the game to keep building your resources of what you have to keep allowing you to buy more, cull out the rubbish bits, and keep your train in motion almost. You know, you're trying to put all the pieces together to streamline your strategy for that game very quickly, so all of the pieces of the engine fit together and it drives itself forward.
Yeah, you are essentially putting a load of cogs together and creating the most efficient engine you possibly can, hence the term engine building. And there isn't a huge great deal more that we can really explain about what engine building really is, other than to give you a few examples and how they work within those games. One of the most popular games on the planet at this current time is Wingspan. Wingspan is the perfect example of an engine building game. Now, you can go through the game without creating an efficiency engine. However, it's not going to be the most likelihood that you would win. Whereas if you can create a nice efficient engine where you perform one single action, which triggers another action, which triggers another action, which triggers another action, you're getting the most bang for your buck. And yeah, I think bang for your buck is probably a really good phrase for engine building. So Ian, coming from a TCG background, one, why is the term engine building not as common within TCG as it is, say, within the board game industry?
I think because the design of trading card games, you build your deck to work on an engine a lot of the time. So again, I come from Pokemon background and more recently the Digimon background. The idea is you would want a particular creature or a combination of creatures to come out that would then fulfill all of your needs. For example, with Pokemon, you know, like trying to rush energy cards out so that you have the ability for your main Pokemon to attack. Or I suppose a better example was my tournament deck for the Sheffield Regionals, which was the last big tournament I was able to go to nearly 2 years ago now. The whole deck that I played was a Mew and Mewtwo tag team that had an ability that you could use to tax from particular Pokemon either in your discard pile or on your field. So the cards, all the trainer cards and draw cards and everything in your deck were designed around discarding cards to search for others. So you could hunt out the bits you needed quickly and bin them so that this Mew and Mewtwo could copy their attacks and use them for itself. So the engine was designed around drawing lots of cards, binning lots of cards, and burning energies onto the field as quickly as possible to then give you this toolbox to, you know, to work out what you needed to do at the time. Others are how quickly can you find your combo by using various different combos. I have a Digimon deck in front of me now that almost all of the Digimon in the deck have some variation of the name V or Vidramon in them. But then there are a load of cards that basically say if they have, you know, V in their name or Vidramon in their name, do something. So the more of them you can spiral out, the more options you have to do on your turn, the quicker you then draw more stuff to play. You know, so it, that engine speeds itself up and keeps developing itself forward.
And I think another game that you play quite a bit recently is obviously Magic the Gathering, which being a trading card game has similar mechanics, I'm guessing, and it is essentially still an engine building mechanic where you want to create a nice efficient play style.
Yep, mana ramp is one of the biggest engines at the moment. Play a load of cards at the start of the game that put lands down quickly, which enable you to play more cards, which enable you to play more lands, and then suddenly play all of your big endgame stuff on the earlier turns before your opponent would have the chance to do so without those capabilities. You know, if you're only allowed to play one mana, you know, one land, one mana generation a turn, yet you've got eight out by turn five, you know, you've got the opportunity for bigger cards or more cards than they have on turn five.
So obviously both of us have got a history in deck building as well. We'll use the Marvel Legendary deck builder because it's the one I know the best as well. The whole premise of most deck builders, as I understand it, is you start your game with a select hand. They're usually pretty rubbish cards, let's be honest. Maybe one damage, one money. And the idea is that you use your money to buy better cards. And if you can get cards that feed off of other cards, thus creating yourself an engine of efficiency and damage, then that obviously works the best. One of Ian's favorite character combinations, really, when it comes to Legendary, is he plays multiple loads of Spider-Man, where the engine on that, if I remember it correctly, is you get to draw, you know, a card will let you draw a card, and if it costs less than two, you get to put it into your hand and be able to use it.
Yes, each character has their own mechanics. The base game Spider-Man and various other variations of it were reveal the top card of your deck. If it's two cost or less, do something.
Yeah.
Whether it be draw it, play it, or something like that. Well, if you can... all of the cards that start in your deck are zero cost anyway. So if you can work with other players, which is the hardest part with that game, to allow you to buy, you know, that one player to just buy the two cost cards, they can effectively burn through their entire deck every turn. The cards' outputs are like one damage or one money at a time, so it doesn't look like a lot. But when each of them is then revealing the next and adding it to the chain, I could burn through 20 cards in a turn and then suddenly get the same sort of damage that the other players were generating out of one or two cards.
I mean, you may never be lucky enough that every card does a single damage, but we'll use that as an example. So you start the game with six cards, and say, for example, all of them did one single damage. You get to play those six cards every turn, which means you can do six damage. Whereas if you start getting the efficiency engine running, that six may turn to seven, it may turn to eight, it may turn to 20 damage, all from playing with the efficiency engine and creating or buying cards that work with other cards. You know, I can't say the word efficiency more than I'm going to in this episode. You know, that is the whole principle around engine building, is just creating a synergy, a nice efficiency in your decks. And it does tend to be more of a card-based strategy, if I remember correctly.
True, but there are some other games that run it as well that will get mentioned later. One of mine was actually, there's a legacy game in my list, so which is quite an interesting one.
Is it a game mechanic? That's the real thing. Because to be honest, it's not a game mechanic. It's not something that a game should really have listed on it. It's a game play style. So obviously when the game designers create these games, they're going to know how the players are going to want to play it, and therefore it is kind of an engine builder, but it's not really.
This is where me and you differ, because I think it is a mechanic, because some games are built on these fundamentally, but you can play them without. The trading card game is the good example. You don't have to run a particular engine. You know, I mentioned Digimon. I've got a deck that strategy is just play low cost cards quickly. It's not really an engine. It doesn't rely on certain combinations of stuff to then drive itself forwards. Whereas that blue deck that I mentioned with the Ultra Force Vidramon cards, the engine is based on pulling cards that require things with certain things in their name out. Mm. But then suddenly you just go off like a rocket when you do.
Yeah, see, that one does definitely come across more as a game mechanic, because it is built into it and it's forcing you to do it. Whereas, you know, you sort of think, is it or isn't it? Because if you can play a game without actually using a built-in game mechanic, is that really a game mechanic, or is it just a hinted playstyle? It is understandable, I think, why people get really confused with this.
There are some games you can't play without playing an engine builder. most deck builders are. Legendary is that one that's just, I was waiting for you to then have a crack at me back with, because it's almost that exception to the rule. You can mash cards together with Legendary, but it really doesn't work very well. But if you build an engine out of it, the game works properly. Yeah.
So the question of, is it really a game mechanic? Although Ian says I disagree with him, I do actually agree with him. It is a built-in game mechanic. However, it's not a game mechanic that if you didn't follow it, the game just wouldn't work. You probably wouldn't win, and you'll have a really tough time, but you could theoretically play most engine builders without creating an efficiency engine. Just don't get your hopes up that you'll ever get anywhere with it. Is the nicest way I can put that, I think. In a nutshell, how would you sum it up in less than 15 seconds? Go.
Get a strategy that puts all your pieces together to drive you forward to win the game.
Spot on. I probably would have froze at that point and not known what to say, but this is why you're here, Ian. This is why you're here. So anyway, we've droned on about what engine building is enough. How about we talk about some of our personal favorites or potential favorites? I'm going to say that because I know there's some in my list that I haven't actually managed to play yet. Would you like to kick it off with your five, or shall I kick it off?
Go on, I'll start.
Go on then, off you go.
I'm going to start with Dominion, deck building game. This will come off almost as a carbon copy of, you know, of one of the other ones I'll talk about. But deck building in itself, the whole point of a deck builder is engine building. You want to get combinations of cards that work together to ignore the dead cards in your deck or get rid of them. Dominion does the same thing. You use money to get to a victory points later in the game, but you need to buy the cards, and some cards are slightly better than others when buying them, but there's only limited amounts of each available. Mm. So it's knowing what to go for and when to go for them.
Yeah. I'll jump in now and continue the deck building side of things, because this one was a real cop-out for me. Obviously, it's one of my favorite games of all time. I've already talked about it, and that is Legendary deck building game, more specifically the Marvel version. So yeah, deck builders, as Ian has touched on, deck builders are engine builders through and through, and as such I would recommend Legendary due to the sheer volume of replayability of it. That's one thing I have noticed with a lot of engine builders. There tends to be a lot of content in which you can actually make multiple different types of engines throughout the game. So yeah, Legendary deck building game. Absolutely love it. That's my first one.
My second one. So I'm going to go with my cop-out one, and I have bundled all of the trading card games together. Touched on this earlier. The reason I didn't split them all up, when I was trying to think of what games to add to my list, obviously, me being a trading card gamer, a lot of the games with engine building I play are the different trading card games. However, I felt it was a bit of a cop-out because, one, you don't need to have engine building built into your trading card decks anyway, though it does help. As I tried to sort of mention with the Digimon decks earlier, one of them, the only engine it has is just making things cheap to rush everything out. You know, it doesn't have any special bonuses really working around each other than just spam everything as quickly as possible. Mm. Yet my blue deck runs around wanting cards a particular name out, so you can suddenly do a whole load of more things while they're there. And then they all complement each other. So you have an engine built into the deck that does, once you get the pieces out, it all suddenly does a lot. However, I didn't want to include them all as in separate things because there are different ways to play the card games, you know, like drafts and things. You just have to hope, and you can't build engines easy. It's doable, but not easy. And some sets have engines built into them of trading card games. Pokemon's latest set, Battle Styles, it brought in cards called Single Strike or Rapid Strike cards. Now, all they are is like Pokemon or Trainer cards or something with that label stuck in the side of them, but they work together. So all the Single Strike cards will have different combinations that all work between them. But, you know, if you just jammed random Single Strike Trainer cards into your main deck, you know, any other deck, for example, the card specifically says do X, Y, and Z for a Single Strike Pokemon. So it wouldn't do anything to a normal combination. So it's an engine built, you know, within that set or a couple of sets that doesn't really see too much play outside of that. It'll be a small mechanic for a small amount of time to make things interesting. Magic did it with things like adventure cards, where they had two options, you know, play the adventure side first, which does a small effect, and then play a big creature off of it afterwards.
Yeah.
that was only for one set. We might see it again in a few years' time. We might not. Who knows? Depends what they want to do. But there are cards that help boost each other within that mechanic, or they can be used as just individual things to help boost a normal deck.
Cool. Right, on to my next one. And this one made my list because it is actually a very, very popular game. It's a very well-known game and is actually in the gateway game category, which kind of proves that engine builders aren't really that hard to pick up, and that is Splendor. So, yeah, the basic premise of that game is so simple and just leans you straight towards engine building, which is that players use gems to buy cards. Those same cards give you more free gems and let you buy more cards, and so on and so on. Eventually, you could also complete a set of cards and get to claim some bonus points, and you know, etc. But yeah, the premise of the game is engine building at its core, using something to get something else, which then gets you something else, which then gets you something else. Engine building, through and through, is Splendor. Love it.
I'm going to come in with my number three. It's one that surprised me until I actually sat and thought about it. It's Machikoro.
Mm.
So this is an engine builder in that you buy resources for your town to generate. You see, buy developments that generate resources on either other players' turns or your turns, you know, with different dice being rolled. But you genuinely have to work out a strategy sort of thing of which things to buy and how they all work together. Like, you can buy the red cards, which are like restaurants and things, which steal money off of other people. And it's also trying to build your engine. You know, you can upgrade in the game to getting a second dice to add, you know, so you get a bigger dice pool of numbers. So you need to build your engine of, do you want to focus on one dice is 1 to 6 numbers that are going to come up, or two dice for later on that will hit the 7+ numbers but won't be useful at the start of the game. Yeah. So there's different engine mechanics built into that with, you know, that help you build your resources to try and get ahead, with the ultimate goal of the game is to build up your city's main structures before everyone else.
Yeah. So, yeah, I remember we actually had a little discussion before we went live today, and I'd completely forgotten about Machikoro. So well done on remembering that, because, yeah, it is an engine builder at its core. So the next one for me will probably get me a lot of flack, I think, because I have to say this game is not particularly high up on my enjoy playing list, shall we say. Yeah, it is a very popular game, and that is Terraforming Mars. Terraforming Mars, as I said, is another good example, another well-known example of an engine builder. The key to playing well in this game is to find efficiency synergies between various project cards and build a successful engine out of those. This game also has a crazy, crazy fandom due to the sheer variety and number of different potential engines that you can actually build throughout this game. Now, like I said, it's not high up on my, you know, enjoyment list. However, I have massive, massive respect for Terraforming Mars because the replayability aspect is there. And yeah, they have built in deck building, but, you know, so many different combinations of different types of engine that you can build. It is fantastic. Really, really good on those grounds. Although, I say it again, it's not a huge one that I enjoy playing all that much.
So my number four is going to... I decided to bring a legacy game into the mix.
Ooh, risky.
That is Charterstone. So, worker placement legacy game, how does that engine build? Well, the idea of this game is you... I don't want to spoil it too much because, obviously, legacy game. But as the game goes on, you develop your own quadrant of the board. Of all focused genuinely around one type of resource to start with, but with different special abilities and different stickers that you can buy throughout the game and different people you can acquire and stuff like that. You build an engine around what can I do with what few meeples I have, or how can I acquire more workers to add to the board and different varieties. So you have to build your engine up that way. And it was a really interesting game just to see how it developed. You know, did you manage to get the right combinations of stuff together to then increase what was going on?
See, it's again, it's another game I haven't played. You know, it's been no secret on the podcast that I'm not a huge fan of legacy games, but that is one that I'm genuinely interested in because Ian has just raved about it constantly. So I'm sure he will get me to play it at some point. Got to get yourself a recharge pack first, though.
Yep.
Okay, so the next one for me is, I guess we'll use this as a cop-out, but it's not a cop-out because, you know, the game evaded me for so long, yet in recent months I have played this game more than any other, and that is the modern classic Wingspan. 2019, I believe this came out, and it took the gaming world by storm. Even to this day, people just rave about Wingspan, and do you know what? I can see why. It's a very, very good game, and again, it has engine building at its core. Yeah, actually, I'm going to say this is probably my most recommended engine builder for anyone out there looking to try the playstyle, as it is incredibly easy to grasp, and it actually encourages its players to create those synergies and efficiencies on your board. You can play it without doing that. There's nothing to stop you from doing that. However, if you can get yourself an efficiency engine going on here, whether it be producing eggs or producing or getting food from the supply or even the bird feeder to cash on your cards, it all adds to points at the end of the game. So that's where the efficiency side of it comes in, and that is Wingspan.
So this brings me round to my last entry, and I have purposely saved this one till last. Very similar to Dominion, but with, I think, just a better theme and a better balance all round, is Star Realms. Multiple ways to play this game. Me and my girlfriend, she got it over Christmas, and we have played it quite a lot. Again, deck builder, you start the basic pretense of money and damage, and you buy cards from a track in the middle, building yourself up. You can either play it player versus player, which is the bog standard way of playing it. You can do team v team. There's even a two-player co-op mode that one of the Frontiers version gives you. And just like any other deck builder, it's a standard build your engine. You've got four colors of ships. A lot of the ships have a bonus effect if you've already played that color that turn, which, you know, either allows you to draw more cards or add more. Each of the ships has a theme. So like the red ships often scrap the rubbish cards out of your deck. Blue heals. Yellow makes your opponent discard cards. And the green just do a stupid amount of damage. And the combinations of which you have available to buy and actually then buy and put into your decks differs every single game. I've never had any two games even come close to each other. But it just makes for a nice balance on engine building. If you can get multiples of the same color cards in your deck, you're going to burn through your deck a lot quicker.
Yeah. Cool. So that was your last one. My last one, and I will start this with a little caveat to say I have not personally played this game, so I can't give you a full rundown of how the game is played, etc. However, Everdell is another big popular game. It is high on my list to play. There are multiple people in our gaming groups that actually own this game. So this is going to be a game I get to play very, very soon. Now that we're, you know, getting towards the goal of being able to play in game clubs again. But yeah, Everdell is... The game is essentially... It's a tableau builder, which seems to also include the ability to incorporate some really good meaty engine building aspects to it. So that is why I'm really, really keen to play it. It's not until I really sat down and started writing this list that I realized how much I actually really like engine building games and the strategies involved in them. Normally my brain doesn't like to work all that much. So to actually like a game style where your brain is constantly worrying, you're constantly having to think about what's going to happen and plan for later on in the game, it surprises me. So yeah, that they are five recommendations from each of us with regards to engine builders. How do you feel about engine builders, Ian? Is it? I know you're obviously into your TCGs, but is it something you think you'd like to try a bit more in the future, or is it not really to your playstyle?
I suppose it depends on what you're looking for in the game. I like a really good game where you have to think, have to put stuff together. I mean, you already said, when I do engine builders, I tend to like a theme around it as well. I was just lucky with Legendary that one of my themes actually matched one of my playstyles in engine building. Mm. The ability to burn through all of your cards and basically every turn in a deck builder is great fun to me.
Yeah.
You know, even if it is piddly little cards all the time. And like I mentioned with Star Realms as well, with the red card, there is actually the possibility to get your deck just down to the five cards you draw every turn.
Yeah.
So you've got the same five cards doing the same amount of damage every turn. You know, when you start with a 10-card deck, yeah, you know, you've got to scrap the rubbish out of your deck. But buying a few good cards and then burning away everything else to get to them, great way to play if you're allowed to survive long enough to do it. But
yeah.
Again, it depends on the people you're playing with to whether you're allowed to survive that long.
I do find that most engine building games are a bit of a slow burner at the start of a game. However, once you're a couple of turns in and you've started to get the engine built, you know, you're starting to get the first initial stages out, the game just really picks up in pace. And, yeah, you know, each player turn tends to be a lot faster, because they're essentially going, oh, I'm doing one thing, but actually it's going to do this, 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 and this. So, yeah, that is engine building. We apologize if we rambled a bit with regards to this, but it's an interesting one. It's not like trying to explain like core game mechanics, I suppose, is a good way of putting it.
I suppose with engine building, it's how much your game focuses on it. As I said, TCGs is the bigger ones to me, because you can jam a load of cards together and still play a game.
Mm.
You'll notice those that have built an engine into their deck of cards that works well always win.
Yeah. I would agree with that. And it's just, like I said, it's just about creating that most efficient form of play. That is engine building, I think.
Yep.
And we'll leave it there. Cool. Well, let us know your opinions on engine building, guys. Do you enjoy a nice engine building game? Have you been put off by the terminology because you didn't know what it meant? Have you been put off by the fact that you thought it was a strategy game and therefore you're not a strategic player, therefore you wouldn't enjoy it? I would actively recommend anyone give engine building games a try, because they are great fun. I have a huge love for them. Ian, whether he realized it or not, has a huge love for them, because he also plays his TCGs. So yeah, let us know on any of the social media websites, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, by searching for Meeple Minded Media. But other than that, we're going to hand over to our man in the news shed. So over to you, Paul.
No, it was your turn to write the intro this week. Was. You lost the bet, didn't you? So this week was yours to write. So what have you got for the listeners? And that's it. So what else you been up to? Were you supposed to be around at Jason and Ian's? Oh, you didn't take too kindly to them calling me a prehistoric exhibit last week. Oh, and Barney the dinosaur. And you can't think of what they'll be calling me this week too. Well, I suppose I can let you off this once, seeing as you're defending my honour. So what did you end up doing? Uh-huh. You didn't. What? Even I think that's going a bit too far. And neither of them will find out till it's too late. Wow. Remind me never to get on the wrong side of you. I'm glad you're on Team Newshed. Talking of the news, we best get to it. Carcassonne, the game that to many doesn't need an introduction, and the 2001 Spiel des Jahres winner, celebrates its 20th year on our gaming shelves. I know I said it didn't need an introduction, but for those of you that did skip this ever-popular gateway game, we'll give you one anyway. Carcassonne is a tile placement game where players will draw and place tiles in line with those already played. Also, Carcassonne is rumoured to be the basis from where the term meeple comes from, when Alison Hansel combined the words my and people during a playthrough, which was then officially adopted by the game and the world as the specific term for your little wooden counterparts. To celebrate the game's milestone, Z-Man Games has announced a 20th anniversary edition of Carcassonne. The anniversary edition contains the base game and is compatible with all expansions. The anniversary edition base set has been upgraded with a high gloss UV spot print on all the tiles and the box to truly make the details shine and to celebrate this momentous anniversary. The box itself even comes with gold foil lettering and trim to really stand out, as well as two unique designs giving fans the choice to display their copy from either side. The tiles will also feature upgraded illustrations as well as fun Easter eggs to be found within the newly decorated pieces. In addition, there are a few gameplay updates, 20 brand new tiles which include new river tiles, including a double tile so to create longer rivers, and others that offer new gameplay actions. In addition to all that, it will include stickers for your meeples to give them a more personalized look. The game can be pre-ordered directly from Z-Man Games with a current pre-order price of $49.99, with the release being confirmed only for 2021. So check in with your friendly local game store for more localized ordering. The American Tabletop Awards have announced the winning board games in four distinct categories as part of their third annual class of outstanding titles in the English language market. The American Tabletop Awards first began in 2019 as an alternative to large industry awards such as the Asdor, the Kangas, and largest of all, the Spiel des Jahres. Specifically, the founding committee members wanted to decorate board games specifically published in the United States and other English-speaking parts of the world. The committee awarded games in four categories this year: strategy games, complex games, casual games, and those titles meant for early gamers. Along with a winner, each category also recommended two non-winning games and two other titles nominated by this year's committee. The deck builder, Abandon All Artichokes, won the early gamers category, with notable mentions going to Hues and Cues, Dragomino, Dungeon Drop, and Zombie Teens Evolution. The casual games category went to The Crew, which beat out other nominees, Monstrosity, Nova Luna, Rosetta, The Lost Language, and Chai. The strategy title went to Calico. Others that made it to that final were The Search for Planet X, My City, Fort, and Smartphone Inc. And finally, the winner of the complex game category went to Domination's Road to Civilizations, which beat out Dune Imperium, Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion, On Mars, and Bonfire. Those interested in learning more about the 10-person committee and its code of conduct can check out the American Tabletop Awards website and past winners including Wingspan, Root, Quacks of Quedlinburg, and Catch the Moon. Those looking for a way into the Games Workshop's Warhammer universe have a new route in the form of its latest 2-person starter set aimed at introducing new players to the fantasy-themed Age of Sigmar format. Warhammer Underworld starter set has everything 2 players need to begin duking it out, including tokens, essential rules, dice, and 2 warbands from different factions. For those unfamiliar, warbands run quite smaller than the trays of traditional Warhammer armies, somewhere between 4 and 6 units, which means skirmishes prioritize guerrilla tactics and individual positioning rather than just plastic bobs, double handfuls of dice. Players can either take control of the Stormcast Eternals Storm of Celestis, comprising 3 warriors, and 1 loyal Griffhound, or Dripor's Wraith Creepers, a 4-unit Nagash warband. Each specialise in different tactics and bring contrasting abilities to the field. The 2 included battleground boards are both double-sided to depict a range of locations with various terrain modifications and hazards. Capturing and holding high ground is just as important in Underworld's smaller-scale battles. Warhammer Underworld's starter set is already available to pre-order through Games Workshop and due to be delivered from the 17th of April onwards, priced at £40. Crowdfunding now, and all these games are on Kickstarter and are from first-time studios and designers looking for your pledges to make their dreams come to fruition. First game up is a game called Territory by Nathaniel Morris. It's for 2 to 4 players, it takes 25 to 60 minutes to play, it's for ages 13 and over, and ends on Thursday, May the 6th. Territory is a high fantasy strategy card game where players battle against one another, using champions to help secure their territories while vanquishing their opponents' territories and champions. Territory is set in a classical fantasy landscape where there are several tribes exploring the surrounding realms they find themselves in. Magnificent and ancient landscapes from a past that is long forgotten. Champions will explore realms, seek out relics, and cast spells to combat other tribes in their quest to uncover the mysteries of their realm. Players also have a small, separate deck called a Territory deck. The object of the game is to be the first person to get 18 points. Players get points when they destroy an opponent's territory, relic, or champion from play. There is a print and play pledge at just £4 or $5. You can get decks for the two factions at only £19 or $25. A full set of cards only is £33 or $45. A full base set of Territory the Game is £41 or $55, and there's a deluxe set available as well for £55 or $75. And next up on crowdfunding is Shore Anglers by Tahameen Ansari. It's for 1 to 5 players, takes about 30 minutes to play. It's for 6 years and older, ends Sunday, May the 9th. This is a fishing board game with a simple goal, to collect the highest number of fishes or fish coins as possible, but is all really well when you have the kingfisher and the eagle hovering over you, lurking upon their chance to make your aquatic friends their next meal. Twist, turn, and coast along in the sea waters, but as you do, make sure to catch your fish friends and steer clear of your winged foes, because when you do, there ain't no better shore angler than the mighty you. There's a print and play pledge at £15 or $20. The base set comes in at £33 or $45. And the base set and the lucky fishes pack comes in at £41 and $55. And lastly is Terra Proxima by Bavarian Games. It's for 3 to 6 players, takes an hour to play, is for ages 14 and over, and it ends on Tuesday, May the 11th. On the verge of extinction, after years of conflict that has left their planet nearly depleted of its natural resources, the inhabitants of this world have no choice but to leave their home. They'll accomplish this by using advanced, long-range spacecraft to journey to the nearest habitable world that will become their new home. Still stubbornly divided after decades of fighting, the remaining world powers now engage in a final surge of dominance and self-preservation as they race ahead to their objective. In order to complete their mission, they must obtain the materials necessary to sustain themselves, maintain their spacecraft, and research the science required to navigate their way through the long and dangerous journey that awaits them. In an ironic twist, they may be forced to cooperate with one another while still protecting their own interests. Now, the ultimate strategic gamble for survival will require you to be the first to arrive and claim the distant world, Terra Proxima. Terra Proxima is a push-your-luck resource management game that will keep you on the edge of your seat throughout gameplay. It's intense enough to keep experienced gamers excited, but simple enough to be enjoyed regardless of a player's skill set. First player to arrive on Terra Proxima is the winner of the game. Will you be able to get there first? And the only pledge level for this one is £36 or $49. With nothing new from the event world this week, it just leaves me to mention our local gaming groups gathering in the online realm for fun and laughter over a game or two. Wednesday evening of gaming, run by the Comic Shop in Crawley and hosted by ours truly Jason, is run via the Comic Shop Discord server with gamers playing on a variety of platforms, so head on over to the shop's social media pages for more information. Thursday is the usual Worthing Board Gamers and Lewis Board Game Cafe groups on Zoom, so go and check out their socials for more information. And Mondays is Jason, Ian and the Crawley gaming community via their Discord server. So look after yourselves, meeples, stay safe, keep those dice rolling, the cards are shuffling, and we'll be right here for you next week. So it's goodbye from the duck, and it's a goodbye from myself.
Thanks very much for that, Paul, and thank you, Brian, for bringing us the news once again. Unfortunately, guys, it is just me signing off this week, because as we were recording this over the internet still, we've had some technical issues, and Ian has had to duck out. So yeah, thank you very much for joining us, guys. We will see you next Tuesday for some more tabletop gaming discussions. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. If you do enjoy the content, if you could give us a review on Apple Podcasts, that would be amazing, because it really does help more than you will ever know. But until next week, guys, thank you very much for joining us. I've been Jason. Ian sends his well wishes as well. Game safe. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.